It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day to enjoy the study of the Word of God. Please that you join me today, and we'll enjoy studying the book of John, John chapter 21. We're going to read verse 1 through verse 14, and so please that you'd open your Bibles to John chapter 21, beginning to read with the first verse. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write us a note, you would find us at Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find that at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And please feel free to get a hold of us. We'd love to hear from you. I'm glad now that you've joined us today. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and find your place in John chapter 21, and we'll begin reading now with verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples thus ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish all likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Please, let's go to the Lord in prayer now after the reading of his precious word. Father, I thank and praise you that we can have this time together. Please that you will guide and lead us, that you will show us as we have come through the time with Thomas, and now we find once again a short time later the Lord Jesus, the third time now he shows himself to his followers to help them to be strengthened and to grow. Please, Lord, as we study your word today, you will convict each and every heart, that we will all hear from you by the Holy Spirit as you touch our hearts. Maybe this will be the time that you'll touch the heart of a lost one, that they will come to know you today. You will show them through your word that they are a sinner and they're lost and they need you as a Savior. Please, Lord, that you'll touch their hearts. There's so much out there today that are lies and deception, Father. Help us to see your word, to stay upon your word, and to know your wisdom, not the world's wisdom, Lord. Please help us to see their salvation only by one way, and that's the cross of Calvary and coming by faith in you, Lord Jesus. Please, Father, guide us today as we study your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've found ourselves in the 21st chapter of John, After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. After these things, we're going to take just a minute to look back at what we have enjoyed in the past chapter, because if you'll remember, the Lord Jesus showed himself on the first day of the week, being Sunday. We find that back in the 19th verse, and as he showed himself to the disciples, we find that they enjoyed his fellowship. They saw that the Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, and there was no question that he was alive, and no longer was there any question or doubt. Their faith was strengthened, and they began to walk and to grow in the Lord Jesus. But there was one that was missing, and that was, of course, Thomas. Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." That's verse 25 of chapter 20. Thomas, number one, should have been there. For whatever reason he chose not to be, he missed a blessing. We talked about that, how that you miss a blessing when you're not in the house of God. You miss an opportunity to study the Word of God with folks because something else in your life seems to be more important. It's a sad day, because you'll find that there is nothing more important than drawing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoying a fellowship with other believers. Thomas, whatever reason, wasn't there. He missed the blessing, and instead of just missing that blessing and then being so excited as the testimony of the others were brought before him, and yet he denied it, and he said, "Unless I see it." Well, then a week passes, and we find the Lord Jesus once again back into the presence of the disciples. This time we find that Thomas is present, and the Lord Jesus said unto him very, very quickly, he said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands, reach hither thy hands and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing." He did not wait for Thomas to say anything. He did not wait for any of the other disciples to say, "Well, here's Thomas. Now, Thomas, what question did you have about the Lord Jesus?" The Lord Jesus knew the words of Thomas, even though he wasn't there. You see, we have a God that is all-knowing. And so here we find that the Lord Jesus, before Thomas could say a word or anyone else say a word, the Lord Jesus said, "Thomas, come here. Reach hither thy fingers, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hands, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Thomas was called to attention right there. He said, "Here I am, now what's your questions?" You know, he desires not to criticize. He desires to grow us. The Lord Jesus will chastise us if that's what's necessary. But here, we needed to build Thomas up, grow him, prepare him for a work that was set before him. And for that, I will show you what you ask. And so as the question was asked, it was put before him, we find that the question was answered, and answered immediately, because we have no, "And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God." And so you see, it wasn't long that Thomas answered, got his question answered. He didn't even have to ask the Lord. And he did not reach into his hands to see the nail scars. He did not thrust his fist into his side. He found quickly and immediately that this is the true Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one they walked with for 3 years, watched die on the cross, and now has risen from the dead. This is the Lord Jesus, our God, that we worship and praise. Thomas finally recognized that. His faith was strengthened, and he began to grow and begin to be a servant of the Lord Jesus that he should have been. He just took a week out of his life that he missed that blessing. What about you? Do you do the same thing when you ignore the call to be in the house of God, ignore working for the Lord Jesus, to serve him, to listen to him? Are you preparing your heart and your life that you will know the Lord Jesus and then walk and grow in the Lord Jesus? Verse 31 finishes this up, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. We will have eternal life, and people think of eternal life as something that's going to come to pass after we leave this life, after death, and that's not true at all. Life begins in Jesus Christ the second that you come to know him. But it depends on what quality of life you have is in relationship to how much you depend upon him. You follow his will or your will or the will of the world. I know a lot of folks that have made a confession of faith in the Lord Jesus, but they've stayed in an old dead liberal church. They did not find a church home. They have decided that Sunday morning is enough. They don't need to come Sunday night, Wednesday night, to have that power and that wisdom of God. And so their quality of life is limited because they are not calling upon the Lord. They are not depending upon him. They are not enjoying the fellowship with other believers. Many of the things that Thomas missed that 1 week that was gone because he decided not to be with them. Please look to the Lord Jesus Christ that you may have life, not only your sins forgiven, not only set free in the Lord Jesus Christ and ready to walk with him, but also you will enjoy a wonderful fellowship with other believers, a wonderful life. Your sins forgiven, your life set for service, begin the work. It'll be a wonderful day. Now, after these things, after this had taken place, the two different occasions that they had seen each other, here's what takes place. They are at the Sea of Tiberias. You know, we're going to look at a couple things today. Get started with them anyway here in chapter 21 of John. We're going to look at the location. We're going to look at the time. We're going to look at the activity that they're involved in and how many are involved in this activity. The first thing we're going to look at here, and that is the place, because verse 1 tells us, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, that is also called the Sea of Galilee. And why are they to go to Galilee as they found themselves? After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias or Sea of Galilee. And on this wise showed he himself. Mark 16:7. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. They were commanded to go to the Sea of Galilee. To the Sea of Tiberias, as the scripture calls it here. It's just one of the same place. And you'll notice that in Mark 16:7, there was a special invitation, not to Thomas, but to Peter. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you unto Galilee. Peter still, we're just days away from the time that Peter promised that he would die with the Lord Jesus and never deny him. And then he finds himself very soon, very quickly, he finds himself denying the Lord Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. Look at that. There's a special invitation given to Peter. The Lord Jesus wants us restored. The Lord Jesus wants us in fellowship with him. He desired Thomas to be back, to have the faith he needed to get to work, and he desires Peter to be back, not to chastise him because he has fallen and he has even cursed the Lord Jesus when he spoke of whether he knew him or not. It is wonderful that we find and we have a God. Our God calls us back, desires us to be back in fellowship, to follow him and to fellowship with him. And Peter got a special invitation here back in Mark 16:7. What time are we looking at here? And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. The time following the resurrection. You know, it hasn't been many days after the resurrection that we're already at the Sea of Galilee, and we're going to find them doing something, and that activity we find, according to verse 3, is going to be fishing. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. They went fishing. That's what they were involved in. So we have the location, the Sea of Galilee, the time, just days following the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the death, burial, and resurrection. we have the activity. We're looking at they're going fishing. Now let's see who's all involved with this. Who do we have that's participating in this? Well, we have Peter, because he's listed first, Simon Peter. Then we find Thomas. Next is Nathaniel. Next is James. Then John. And the other and two other disciples. Most believe it's probably Philip and Andrew. And so we look to the list here, and if I count correctly, that's seven. Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, James, John, Philip, and Andrew, or two other disciples, if we're in question, which we are, of actually who they were. So there are seven together at the Sea of Galilee. Mark 16:7 told them to go before you. I will go before you in Galilee, and there I'll see you. And so the promise was given. We have seven of them arriving there. As we look at that list, you know, we have so many that are fishermen. Why are there so many fishermen? Jesus called them. He knew them to of their profession. He knew that they were fishermen. Why did he call them? You know, as we look at some things here, a fisherman is a person that is a very common person. It's one that worked many, many hours, but normally was not educated. You see, what happens today, so often, our education comes from man, and we begin to ponder on things, and we have a philosophy of life. Our philosophy then turns into our thinking on who is God and what is God, and then we begin with our life and our philosophy of life. We begin to take and to leave certain things of the Word of God. We do not seem to take all the Word of God as He desires us to look at it, to study it, to know it's the truth. I love the Word of God. It's a literal truth. It's a literal Word of God. God is all-knowing. Please that we will search His Word and know this to be His truth. Well, God wants to teach us. We're to walk by His wisdom. And to learn of some of the knowledge of the world is nothing wrong. We need to know to read and to write and things of that sort. But be careful that when it comes to searching out what you're going to do for your life, when it comes to looking for any kind of leadership and direction, a decision that needs to be made, see that you look into that decision, look into that place and way with the wisdom of God, not with the wisdom of man. God's going to teach these fishermen His knowledge, His wisdom. And only when we have the wisdom of God, so much that we hear today on the radio and see on the television is pure ignorance when it comes to God's will and God's way. God is the creator of this world. He spoke it into existence, and we need to praise and honor Him. He has chosen by His will to come and to seek and to save us. And please that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and look to Him. Do not go by the wisdom of the world. They are very common men. These fishermen are very common men. There is something else that's very common, very normal of a fisherman, and that is that they're a man of courage. They're a person that's very strong and very brave. A man of courage, you'll find. They fish many times all night out in the darkness of the sea. And they continue to work. They are very hard workers because they're physically, they work and work. And in this case, we find, as we've already read in the third verse, and that night they caught nothing. They were professional men, professional workers, fishermen, and yet they caught nothing. But did they come home at midnight? No, they stayed all night. Because that's the kind of workers they are. They are very dedicated to their work. Even though they were having a difficult night, we find that they did not get distracted by something else. They set their life on one thing. They set that day on one thing, and they stay with it till it's completed. Now, we need to do the same thing as believers in Jesus Christ. We need to come to the Lord Jesus. We need to come by the power and the strength of God. We need to not depend upon the knowledge of the world, but upon God's wisdom. We need to be very hard workers. Today, we get of the opinion of the thought that I have deserved my time off. I deserve to relax. I deserve to have this big boat or this big house or this vacation home away from here, and so it takes you away at every weekend. I deserve an opportunity to go camping every weekend, to go on the river every weekend, to go hunting every weekend. It seems as though that we find ourselves so busy in the things of the world that we are not setting our eyes. We have been distracted. And we need to stop being distracted by the world and start looking directly at the Lord Jesus Christ, His power and His strength. And so we find that they are very hard workers. They're very courageous and strong and brave. They're a very common man. And they are, again, many times not educated of the world. And so God is able to educate them. Sometimes we add our own philosophy and things. We're not easily distracted. And they set their mind on one thing. They went fishing. And so it's exciting to see what has been taking place in these folks' life, these fishermen. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And so we have looked at the place. We've looked at the time following the resurrection. We're going fishing, and we looked at those that are involved with it. Now, when we look at this, we need to understand that I believe if you expect to be used of God, that God finds very little use for those that are lazy. God will not only speak to us at church, but He also speaks to us at work. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. The news of the birth of Christ come to some men at work. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came unto them. Jesus called many of his disciples while they were at work. You know, we're to put in an honest day's work, a full day's work for our employers. When we're working for someone, do not cheat them. You've agreed upon a certain wage to do a certain job or to a certain wage for an hour's work or 8 hours work or 40 hours work. See that you do that. And yet we find that many times God is calling folks for service while they're at work. If you're a couch a potato and you just sit around all the time and you call yourself a Christian and you think that God's going to speak to you and I'm just waiting to see what God wants to do with my life, He is not going to trust you with His power, with His wisdom, with His strength unless you get up and get to work. God calls us to service. He calls us to work, and we need to be out supporting our families, working very hard to do that. And when you find someone that is busy at work, many times the Lord will call them into service because He wants someone has the qualities of these fishermen. Now, we are looking at these folks that they have went fishing. We have looked at the Lord Jesus Christ as the birth of the Lord Jesus, that the shepherds, while they're abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and lo, an angel of the Lord came unto them, spoke to them. It is good to be together for worship and for work and for fellowship. We have a wonderful time here when we come together to study the Word of God. We enjoy singing the beautiful old hymns. We love those old hymns, and we sing those, and we enjoy that, and it just touches our heart. And then we begin to study the Word, and we enjoy the study, whether it be on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or Tuesday afternoon at the ladies' Bible study. There is a time, wonderful time, of opening and dividing the Word. And please, that you look to the Word of God, enjoy the Word of God, enjoy that fellowship. And when we have that, you'll find that worship time, that study time, that singing of praises, then also we get together on a couple evenings and do some repair around the church. We have wonderful fellowship while we're working. You see, it doesn't matter, and that fellowship with others can be at another place of business too. Again, just see that you don't take away from the time that your employer is paying you for something and you're standing around and not working as you should be. Be careful with that. That's not a very good testimony. But it is wonderful to come together to worship. It's wonderful to come together and work, and it's wonderful then on Wednesday night we always go downstairs and have a time of fellowship. It's wonderful we go down and enjoy each other's company. We find what they've been doing today, what they're going to be doing tomorrow. Many times there's further questions about the study that we have, and we'll enjoy a fellowship time probably an hour or so after the Bible study's over. And that's the way believers enjoy each other. It's wonderful to get together. And here, they have seven men here. They're together. They're together called from the Lord because, again, back in Mark, the Lord Jesus told them, meet me at the Sea of Galilee, in Galilee. And so they were at the Sea of Tiberias. We find how many was involved. There was seven of them. They're together. They're having a time of fellowship. They also go to work together, if you'll notice, because Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So you see, they are having a time of fellowship together, and it's a time of work together. We'll notice a couple names that's back. We made reference to them earlier. Thomas is back, and also Peter's back. They're staying a little closer now, aren't they? Peter found himself just a distance away from the Lord Jesus, just far enough away. He shouldn't even have been there. The Lord Jesus told him not to come, but he did. He thought he was strong enough, and once he got amongst the enemy, he wasn't. And then Thomas, we're not sure what happened to him, but because of his lack of being there, not being there the first time, and then even making the statement, unless I see, we find that his lack of faith was a sad day. And we find that he's staying a little closer together now, too, because he wants to grow and walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're thankful they're closer now. And they're not going to miss an opportunity to see the Lord Jesus and to be with the Lord Jesus again. Now we're going to go to the third verse once again, and we find, I go a-fishing, Simon Peter said. We also go with thee. The other six copied and said, we will go with you. And so they're together. Were they together on the shore in fellowship? Were they praising the Lord for what they had seen and everything? And now all of a sudden it became evening, and Simon said, I'm going to go fishing. Well, we're not real sure what provoked this, what brought this time on to go fishing. But all agreed that they were going to go. They are called to be fishers of men, according to Luke 5:10. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. So as we look at the third verse, and we'll begin there the next time we come together, I want you to see, and I want you to think about, were they supposed to go fishing or just stay on the shore? We've talked about that God doesn't call lazy men. He calls those that are at work. We find that Peter and Thomas are both returned. It was Peter's idea to go. Was it a mistake to go fishing, or was it just what man should do, make their living? We're going to begin with the third verse next time we come together. It's wonderful to enjoy the study of the Word of God. Now, my dear friend, you've heard the gospel. You've heard the teaching of the Word. What are you going to do about Jesus?